Father, I thank you, Lord, for everyone that is here gathered today as we fellowship together around the word of God. We give you, Lord, the praise. We give you, Lord, the glory. Thank you, Father. As always, we declare the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to this simple. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. I want to just read a text of scripture to us today. It will just be our Bible reading. And then we'll do some shares. Praise the Lord. Today's Bible reading is taken from the book of John, chapter 11. And I'm reading from the King James. If you have your Bibles, you may turn to it or just listen along. Now, a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, his sisters, Mary and Martha, sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, therefore, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that Lazarus was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. And after that he said unto his disciples, let us go into Judea again. And his disciples said unto him, Master, these Jews of late have been seeking to stone you. You want to go there again? And Jesus said, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there's no light in him. Now this thing said he, and after that he said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them, plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Now that's our reading today, and let's talk about it for just a bit. Before I turn the room over. Lazarus was sick. His sisters sent to Jesus. Now, these were people that were kind of close to Jesus. They visited him before, friendly around him and so on. And when they sent to Jesus that he was, Lazarus was sick, well, let's see the first thing that Jesus said when he heard that. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. But that's what Jesus said at the beginning. Nevertheless, later on, Jesus said, Lazarus is dead. And I was glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Now, that seems like a contradiction, wouldn't you think? Jesus said, this sickness is not unto death. Later on, he said, Lazarus is dead. So let's take a look at that. The way I see it, simply put, is in as much as Jesus had said that this sickness is not unto death, that was going to be the final state of the matter, which means somewhere in between, even if the man died, at the end, it will be as though he never died. Because Jesus said, the sickness is not unto death. But Lazarus did die. Well, that means that Jesus had to reverse that. Because he said, it's not unto death. Now, let's take a look at that. You know, at that. Because if the Lord says something to you, or when the Lord says something to you, and the exact opposite happens, well, what should you do? Well, it means that we need to hold on, because the Lord's going to bring it right back to what he said. This sickness is not unto death, but Lazarus died. And why did Lazarus die? Well, because Jesus abode 2 days still in the place where he was. I mean, Jesus could have gotten up as soon as he heard that Lazarus was sick unto death. And he could have made it there before the man died. And he could have prevented the man from dying. Martha so much as challenged him about that. Well, you know, now you show up, she said. Well, my brother was sick, we called unto you. And if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But Jesus, on purpose, waited 2 more days. I mean, if he had gotten up and started to go, I mean, there was some distance, you know, between where he was and where the other family was. But he waited more days and until the situation actually got worse. Then he started to go. And by the time he got there, because of the, number one, the 2 extra days he waited, and also the journey between the various places, according to folklore or stories, you know, that we're told that there, you know, the there is a place called Betabara. So about a day's journey from Bethany. Bethany is the place where those people used to, those people lived. And when he traveled to Bethany, you know, he waited 2 days. He arrived there later. You know, these people, they had a tradition of just burying people as soon as they were dead. In any case, all the journeys, by the time Jesus got there, you know, 4 days had passed, and they had buried this man. They buried him right away. And analyzing that situation, we see a number of things. These people were faced with a serious, life-threatening situation. Their brother was sick at the point of death. They cried unto the Lord. And the Lord did not say anything. In fact, he could have sent a message back, say, I'm coming. He did not. God had sent messengers to him. He said nothing. We're not told that he said anything. But, you know, it's just like, well, pretended like he didn't hear, actually. Waited 2 more days until the thing got worse. Then turned around to his disciples and said, well, I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that you may believe. So we see that it was actually deliberate. Jesus actually wanted the situation to get worse, you know, so that the Son of Man might be glorified through the resurrection of Lazarus, which nobody had ever seen until that time. Of somebody being in the grave for several days and being called out of there, nobody had ever seen that. And Jesus wanted, you know, to show his disciples that. In the meantime, though, there's a lot of people that suffered a lot of pain and a lot of grief. And this tells us that, look, God's purpose is, in this case, to show that Jesus Christ can bring the dead out of the grave and that his name might be glorified, was greater. Now, you may think that that's, you know, harsh, but it is what it is. God's purposes are greater than our personal pain or happiness or unhappiness or whatever. The purpose of God in making sure that his disciples knew that Jesus had the power to call someone out of the grave after 4 days was greater than the sorrow that those people had for 4 days. or however long they cried and put their brother in the grave. There were mourners that actually came. And, you know, Jesus could have prevented all that sorrow, all that crying and all that. I mean, people had to prepare this man for burial. They had to embalm his body. They had to go get a grave, you know, pay for that, do all that stuff. It was a lot of painful things they went through the whole time, wondering where the Lord was. I mean, when things were good, he came, he visited us. Now we are in distress and he's nowhere to be found. And on and on and on. I mean, there's a lot of things we can see in this story. But, and when Jesus finally arrived, Martha, hearing that he was on his way, ran toward him to meet him. Said, "Master, Master, my brother is dead now. You know, when he was dying, we called unto you, but he didn't come. Now he's dead." You know, by this time, you know, her voice is croaked from all the crying and everything. And Jesus saw everybody crying. And he himself was moved with compassion. They were all crying and all that. So he wept. We're told in John 11:35, you know, Jesus wept. I remember I learned this verse when I was in, a group. When I was a teenager, I called Scripture, you know, and I said, "What is the shortest verse in the Bible?" I didn't know it at the time. Later, it told us, "Oh, it's John 11:35. Jesus wept. Just those two words." I said, "Wow, Jesus actually wept." And I was intrigued to learn the story. Well, Martha said to him as well, "I know that, you know, my brother is dead. You could have saved him, but I guess that even now, if you ask the Lord, I mean, whatever you ask God, he will do." I mean, she was trying to hang out for some distant hope or very, very faint hope. Perhaps the Lord can still do something. But nobody ever seen him call out anybody from the grave. So this was a difficult one to believe for. And it was a painful one to believe that when they called for him, he did not come. He waited until the situation got worse. Ladies and gentlemen, what's your scenario? There are times that you might have prayed, or even now, maybe you're still going through stuff, praying about something. Instead of God coming to your rescue, he allows the situation to get even worse, and you go through a lot of pain and suffering and loss. Why? Why don't you just take care of the situation already? If he's going to take care of it later, why not just take care of it now and save me from all that pain, you know, and all that suffering and all that loss and confusion? I mean, in the confusion, sometimes you even make mistakes and make things worse. And yet, the Lord will come to your rescue later on and eventually save the day. But why not save the day right away? So that I don't go through all that. Well, the answer is simple. God's purposes are higher than, you know, our pain and our sorrow. You know, that may sound brutal, but that's it. It's the truth. You know, the glory of God is higher than everything else. For God said, "My thoughts," Isaiah 55, "my ways are higher than your ways." You know, we are thinking about the suffering and the pain. Because, I mean, he will take care of that, but his purposes are higher. I mean, because we are the clay and he is the potter. And we can't say to him, "What doest thou?" You know, I mean, if we receive his mercy, we tremble, we fall on our faces, and we thank him for his mercy. If the Lord answered you speedily and saved you to the point where you had no pain, no grief, no sorrow, well, praise the Lord. You know, because you are being a vessel of mercy then. You have received mercy. But should he allow you to go through some stuff that scattered your life or whatever, well, praise the Lord also. You know, because for his pleasure, we were, and we are, and we were created. And all things are for him. And that is not the easiest thing to swallow when you are the recipient of that delay from God and the pain and the grief and the sorrow that, you know, followed. But when he shows up, eventually, in this story, he did. The glory of God was revealed. And the name of the Lord was magnified, because people now saw that Jesus could actually call someone out of the grave after 4 days. And the mission accomplished. And this is what Jesus had in mind when he told his disciples, well, I'm glad for your sakes I was not there. Also what he said when he said, what he meant when he said, well, it's not unto death, but that the Son of God might be glorified. So the first thing that Jesus said was that. However, in the process of getting to the point where the Son of God will be glorified, you know, people suffered pain along the way. Now, think of it this way. You know, if we can completely surrender our lives to the Lord, have thy way, O Lord, my life is yours, have thy way. You know, we trust him with all our heart. We believe by faith for all the good stuff that we're believing for. But we do not grumble, you know, and we do not murmur against him if things don't go the way that we understand. Because our understanding is so shallow, you know, compared to the Lord. And what the Lord will do, he will do. And there are some principles that God operates by. Number one, all things must be done for his own glory, that he might be glorified. That's it. And, you know, which also helps us to understand that when we are praying, pray your prayer in that direction, that he might be glorified. Jesus said it also in his the prayer he taught his disciples. Thine is the glory, you know, that the Lord might be glorified. Everything he does is that he might be glorified. And if he can get more glory, so be it. It may turn out that that process of bringing glory to the Lord may cause us more pain. But it is as he wills. You know, let thy will be done. That's what that means. You know, it's not an easy prayer to pray. Be careful. When you pray that prayer, that Jesus said, well, thy kingdom come, let thy will be done on earth, in earth, as it is in heaven. That's a, you know, serious prayer to pray. When you pray that prayer, better be careful, because for his will to be done, it may be something that you least expect, and it may cause a lot of pain, as we see here. However, his will was done. At the end, he reversed the situation and came right back to what he said. This sickness is not unto death. The man died, but Jesus reversed it because he said it's not unto death. You know, so I take it this way. When you pray, say that, you know, you're going on a trip, you pray that, you know, I pray, Lord, that all things go well with this trip. And the Lord assures you and said, I send my angel before you and I will give you rest. Okay. That's what he said. Then you go on that trip. Then all hell breaks loose. You lose your luggage. You know, things happen. Customs or whatever hassle you. You know, you miss your way, you miss your flight, you know, I mean, all kinds of things happen. Yet you prayed and the Lord had said, I send my angel before you, I give you peace. What does it mean then? Well, what it should lead us to is that when you are going through those opposite experiences that are opposite to what he promised you, then assure yourself that, well, because he said such and such, and now I am experiencing such and such, which is opposite to what he said, therefore, it means that he's going to turn the situation around to become such and such, like he said at the beginning. You know, that's how I use my faith when I'm in situations. I say, well, Lord already told me this, but then all these other things are happening, all hell's breaking loose, and everything is upside down. Well, then I know that God's going to turn things around to bring it back to what he said, you know? Just like he said, the sickness is not unto death. If the sickness is not unto death, and the man died, then Jesus must reverse the situation so that it comes right back to the point where the man was not dead. But that's what he said. So, that gives us a little insight into how we deal with situations that are out of our control, situations that we don't understand. But set your expectation through it all to match what he told you at the beginning. If the Lord said, I am the Lord that healeth thee, now take sickness from the midst of thee, and all of a sudden there is sickness inside of you and among you. Well, then what? Well, that means we keep on believing God that he must turn it back around to the point of where he said, I will not put any of this sickness upon you. Well, the sickness God put on you, God didn't put it, the devil did. But he's got to fix it, you know, and he will fix it. And the end state will be like the first that he declared, you know, because the scripture tells us that God declares the end from the beginning. So this sickness is not unto death was the end. He declared that already from the beginning. Well, whatever happens along the way, you know, that's not relevant to God's purpose. Relevant to us because we may suffer pain, but not really relevant to God's purpose. God's purpose, he said, is he will not, the sickness will not be unto death, but that the Son of God might be glorified. That's God's purpose. Now, in the book of Isaiah chapter 46 and verse 10, you know, he says, the Lord declares the end from the beginning and from ancient times, even the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. That's it. So once the Lord declares his counsel, well, heaven and earth may pass away, but that counsel will stand. Things may rise up against it. Storms may rise up against it. When Jesus said, let's pass on to the other side, it's the same thing. We talk about this thing all the time. He said the word. All kinds of things may happen in between, but at the end of the day, what he said will come to pass. So this must give us confidence. When you find God's promise of what he has promised you, at the end of the day, you will inherit that promise. No matter what. If you don't faint. Now, you faint, then you've lost. And I said to people all the time, you know, you fail when you quit. As long as you keep believing, well, the Lord will come through for you. So, while you're waiting for the fulfillment of your answers, while you're waiting for the completion of your testimony, you must have expectation. You can even give your testimony ahead. You know, the Bible says in the book of Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11, you know, they use the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony as weapons, you know, in fighting against the devil to overcome him. They overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb, which many of us know how to say, the blood of Jesus, and so forth. Cover your situation, cover your children, cover this, cover that, with the blood of Jesus. Well, the one we haven't gotten very used to is to use the word of our testimony as a weapon. People don't use it as a weapon. People wait until everything is done, all the I's are dotted and all the T's are crossed. And then we come out and we say, praise the Lord. It's still a good testimony, but in order for you to use it as a weapon in helping you to get to that victory in the first place, you got to declare that testimony in advance of the actual victory being realized. That's right. You know, you got to praise the Lord. You got to shout the victory. You got to tell the expectation. You got to tell, you know, I believe God. You know, this is the way it's going to be. They say, well, how do you know? Well, because God said so, and I believe it. And you must declare it. That's your testimony. You know, it doesn't mean that you come out and say, the situation is not there when it's still there. It means you come out and declare. Testimony is a declaration. You know, if you go to watch this litigation cases on TV, or you go to the court case, they'll say, well, you know, bring expert witnesses or whatever. And then, you know, when they have their opening statement, and then they come out and they ask those people, they may say, is it your testimony that such and such? I mean, so when you're standing there, you know, and you testify to what you know, and they ask you, well, you swear by this and that, you know, you tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and all that stuff. And they say, yeah, well, that's your testimony. You know, you testify to the goodness of the Lord. And I want people to practice more of your testimonies and your expectations and your declarations, even when everything is going opposite to what God said. You know? Now, can you imagine if the Lord had sent a word to Martha and Mary, the difference he might have made, but he was silent. He could have sent a word that, yeah, you know, don't worry, I'll be coming. No matter what happens, just hang in there. Even if situation gets worse, I'll come. Don't worry. You know, just keep on believing. He didn't do any of that. It was his disciples that were, I don't know, 100 miles away that he was talking to. Mary and Martha got no confirmation or consolation, no information that he was coming. They had no clue if he was coming. They knew he got the message because the messengers returned. But they returned with no message. He never sent back that I'll be right there. Or I might be a few days late, but don't worry. You know, whatever happens, I'll make it right. I mean, he could have sent all those messages. And if he had sent those messages, maybe Martha would have been more strengthened. Well, the Lord said, I'll make it right, no matter what happens. But you see, sometimes the Lord doesn't tell us everything. In fact, most of the time, the Lord doesn't tell us everything. He leaves us to believe him and to trust him through the process. You got to trust him even if he didn't tell you. You know, so he didn't tell Martha, and Martha had to go through a lot of pain. So did Mary and all their friends and everybody that were crying and so forth. But yet he knew within himself what he would do. Why didn't he just share that information and save them all that pain? You know, you give them a little insight that you are coming and you'll be there after 4 days. And even though the man is dead, well, you will still bring him out of the grave. You could have told them all that and save them all that trouble. But then, you know, you lose the element of surprise. You know, you don't tell the devil everything you're going to do. You know, praise the Lord. So the Lord, his wisdom is way beyond us. His thoughts are way beyond ours. You know, his mind, we can't even comprehend what's in his mind. You know, who has known the mind of the Lord to be his instructor? He can't do it. You know, we just need to believe him, know that he's got you in the palm of his hands. And everything that he's doing or allowing to happen is for his glory. Don't worry about it. You know, and he will not tarry long. One thing we know, you know, according to the scriptures, even if the Lord allowed some painful experiences, you know, that you need, you know, to go through, he said, well, they had no trial or test taking you, such as common to man, 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, but God is faithful, we will not suffer you to be tried above what you are able, but he will, with the trial or test, make a way of escape so that you can be able to bear it. So we know that God, I mean, you may almost get to the breaking point and it seems like you even broke, but God will fix it because he said he would not. So if you get tried to the point where you no longer can take it, whereas God said he will not allow that, well, you know, maybe it is because just around the corner is your deliverance and settlement. You know, he said, after that you have suffered a while, the Lord will say to you, well, why must I suffer a while? Why doesn't he settle me before I suffer a while? I mean, you settle me already. Listen to this in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. But the God of all grace, you can ask the Lord these questions yourself. I mean, it's your father. Talk to him. Ask him. I mean, the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory. See, that's his main purpose. Everything must serve the glory of Christ. You know? Well, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Are you kidding? Make me perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle me before I suffer at all. This is what we all want, you know, but the scripture didn't put it like that, unfortunately, and we can't change it. This scripture is very clear. You will go through some things, very clear. But at the end, see, he's already declared the end from the beginning. This scripture already tells us that he will perfect you through that process. He will establish you. He will strengthen you. He will settle you. But you will suffer some things. This is what we know. You dream that you are going to be above your brethren. Your brethren are going to bow down to you, the sun and the moon, the 11 stars and all these things. Well, one thing that the Lord kept from you is he didn't show you all the things you are going to suffer before you get there. All the pain, the suffering, your life will be in jeopardy. You'll be thrown into the pit. Your brothers will conspire against you. They will sell you into slavery. They will carry you far away from your father. You'll be there. You'll suffer many things. You go to prison. You know, I mean, you know, many, many things that you are going to suffer. Well, all he told you was that you are going to be great. He left out the little details along the way. Well, that's God for you. That's how he does. I'll tell you all those things. Well, one thing is this. God knows the end from the beginning, and he can tell you the end. He may not necessarily fill in the gap, you know, but you know, he may tell you the end from the beginning. And so God's knowing the end from the beginning, that's his, what I call his foreknowledge. He has foreknowledge, you know, and perfect memory of all things. So when he says it, when he has already seen it, he can say it exactly the way it's going to turn out. But we don't have that knowledge. We don't have that perfect memory and perfect knowledge of everything like he does. I don't know the future like he does. But one thing you can do that can actually almost approximate God's foreknowledge. Now, let me say that to you again. There is something, some attribute that you can have and use that can almost approximate God's foreknowledge. Now, God's foreknowledge is incredible. He knows everything. You know, he can tell you 15 years down the road what's going to happen. He can tell you today. He knows it. There's no way that you can know that. He can tell you, but he may not tell you. And even if he tells you, he may not tell you the road in between. But one attribute that you can have, I've been teaching myself this over the years. Well, and I tell the Lord, well, you know all things. I don't, but I got my faith. That's right. You know, my faith in the Lord. You know, you can use that faith to almost approximate his foreknowledge because I know how it's going to turn out because he knows it and I believe him. That's it. You know, so even though I don't know, but because he knows and I believe in him, you know, my posture is almost like his. You know, he knows what's going to be and he said it. I don't know what's in between, but, you know, I believe him because he said it and I'm almost like him because now, you know, he already said, you know, I'll be on the other side. So I know I'll be on the other side. Even though the storm's blasting against me, it doesn't matter because I remember what he said and I'm going there, you know. So use your faith to approximate God's foreknowledge. Now, foreknowledge is he declares the end from the beginning. This sickness is not unto death. That's his foreknowledge. Well, but the man died. Well, you got to use your faith. You know, while the death is in progress, you remember that Jesus said, this is not unto death, which means he must reverse it. That's what he means. Praise the Lord. So when the Lord said, I am the Lord, I am he, I am that I am, and I come to deliver you and take you to a land of promise, you know, and right there and then, Pharaoh said, we'll see about that. And he starts to make their situation even worse. You know, now put more burdens on them. Let all that thing, you know, don't give them straw. Don't give them anything for brick. Don't give them anything. Yet, don't diminish the tale of bricks that they must bring. So their situation got 10 times worse. But yet, God gave them hope that he's come to set them free. After all this time, I've seen your affliction and I've heard your cry and I've come down to set you free. Well, but my situation got worse. You know, should have left me alone. That's what the children of Israel, you know, told Moses. Should have left us alone. We were in a, you know, horrible situation. We already knew that, but we learned how to live with it. But now you make it worse by giving us this hope and telling us all these things and making Pharaoh to make our situation worse. That can happen to us many times. Got to promise you something, and then all of a sudden, the situation gets worse. Well, what must you do? Stay with the word of God. Because that word that he said will come to pass. If the situation gets worse, that word will reverse it, that situation. It must eventually come back to what he said. That's it. Once God drops the word, it's done. You know, he commands and it stands fast. He speaks and it is done. That's it. You know, so that's our lesson for today. That's all I want to share with you today. Just to remind you that Jesus may delay, but when he shows up, it'll be for his glory. He delayed. It looks like, but as far as he was concerned, he was right on time. It looked like a delay from our perspective, from the perspective of Mary and Martha who were grieving, but Jesus already knew that he would be right on time. And from his perspective, he was right on time. There was a reason. He knew about it. He delayed on purpose for it. But we don't see that and we don't understand that. You know, and our pain blinds us from seeing the bigger picture. Well, if we can elevate our faith to know that, look, whatever it may be, all things will work together for our good because we love the Lord. And everything will work together. And he's got everything planned. And it's going to work out. So, ladies and gentlemen, I want us to consider all the promises of God. You know, that God has been promising us and so forth. And just consider where you are now with respect to the promises. You know, are you moving in those promises? A situation even gotten worse? Are you believing God still for whatever, you know, that you are believing God for in accordance to his promise? And these are the things that we must challenge ourselves with all the time. Praise the Lord. You know, everything that the Lord does is for his glory. Now, our pain, our suffering, he knows what he's doing. Let me read to you one other verse here to to show you that everything he does is for his glory. Maybe one or two verses. Here, in Isaiah chapter 61, powerful scripture. This was Jesus' mission statement. He used it when he went to the synagogue, took the book of Isaiah, found his place, and read it. In the book of Isaiah chapter 61, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me." Jesus quoted this. "Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek, has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God." Now listen to this. "To comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes," you know, to give them the oil of joy for mourning. I mean, look at all the things he would do just to get rid of, you know, the sorrow and so forth. "Give you that garment of praise to replace your spirit of heaviness." And this is how you, you know, if you can know how to walk that praise, you can break that heaviness that's upon you at times. Just get in the spirit of praise and blow that thing back. You know, he does all of that, that you might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, so that he might be glorified. See, that's the end of it all. That he might be glorified. Well, you come out of it as trees of righteousness, but all of it is for his glory. His glory, that he might be glorified. You know, that's what it's all about. You know, everything he has created for himself and for his glory, that he might be glorified. And what he allows and things that he puts into operation or allow things to happen, he already knows how it's going to work out his glory. So let's develop our faith in the integrity of God to keep his word so that it is so that he might be glorified. And while he's being glorified, he will make us trees of righteousness along the way. And we will be the planting of the Lord. No one can pluck down what God plants. Yeah, you know, and so forth. So that's my encouragement to us today. Now, knowing that then, arm yourself with this, you know, knowledge that although the fig tree does not blossom, you know, whereas God said it will blossom, but yet it's not blossoming. Well, okay. If God said it will blossom, but then all things look opposite, well, what are you going to do? This man said, although the fig tree does not blossom, Habakkuk 3 and 17, although there are no fruits in the vines, although the labor of the olive fail, I mean, everything just, you know, walking. You know, I expected more, but I got less. Even the less, the wind seemed to blow upon it and it scattered. The little that I had, I mean, it just looks like, you know, I just can't make ends meet. Yeah, believing for healing situation gets worse. Doctors give you even a worse report. And on and on and on. Well, you know, say the floor, the fields yield no meat. Everything you try, nothing seems to work. The flock is cut off from the fold. There's no herd in the stalls. I mean, this is a state of bankruptcy, ladies and gentlemen. This man, no matter what he tried, everything's failed. Cut off. You know, but look at his response. "Yet will I rejoice in the Lord. And I will joy in the God of my salvation." Because he understands one thing. He knows the end is going to be better. Surely there is an end. Proverbs 23 and 18. He knows that, look, all these things I'm going through is for the glory of God. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Because the Lord God is my strength. And he will, in the final analysis, at the end of it all, he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon my high places. He will be my glory and the lifter up of my head. At the end of it all, I'm coming out on top because of what he said. What did he say? For that shall be the head and not the tail. You'll be above and not beneath. You know, you'll be lenders and not borrowers. Well, if that's not your situation right now, well, it is going to be, because that's the end game. What is it going to look like at the end? Well, whatever it is that the Lord said from the beginning, that's it. Even for us, you know, in the beginning, God said, let us make man in our image. Well, that's what it's going to be at the end. It may not look like it now. That's why First John 3 says it. Beloved, you know, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called sons of God, even though it does not yet quite appear what we should be like. But we know the end will tell the story. The end must speak what God spoke at the beginning. That's it. I will make them to be like me. Well, we will be like him. That's it. Doesn't matter what happened in between. You know? So, whatever the Lord promised and spoke at the beginning, the end will speak the same. Because the Lord declared the end from the beginning. It's like picking up a book. Before you even read it, flip to the epilogue. I used to do that when I was a kid. I read a lot of books, novels, and different things. But I like to look at the end of the story before I even read the book. And then I try to fill in the blanks in my mind before I even read the book. Look at the end of the story. Well, if you want to know the end of the story, look at the beginning as far as God is concerned. Look at what he said. Because he declares the end from the beginning. So even though you don't know what the end is going to be like, well, see what he already said in the beginning. The beginning of that situation, that struggle that you are in, what did God tell you? Well, that's the way it's going to be at the end. No matter how it looks like now. If it's not unto death, it will not be unto death. Even if the man died, he will have to reverse it so that it will not be unto death, just like he said. On and on and on, you can apply the same logic for every part of your life. Praise the Lord. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the short word of exhortation to your people today. May the Lord instruct our minds to know that whatsoever the Lord doeth shall be forever. Can't add anything to it to take away from me. He said it, and it will be. Things may look this way or that way. Things may appear to be worse. Things may appear to get worse. But if he said it's not unto death, then it's not unto death. And if he died, he must reverse it so that it's not unto death. And what you have promised us, Lord, you know, must come to pass. The enemy may fight it to make it look, it'll go every which way. It may take months, days, years, however long. And the devil is fighting it, but it shall come to pass. That which God has spoken, it shall come to pass. Heaven and earth may pass away, Jesus said, but not one word, see, will fall to the ground of all that the Lord has spoken. All shall come to pass. And Joshua 21 and 45 said this thing. He said to the children of Israel, remember how that the Lord had made good on all that he promised. Nothing failed of everything of all his good word, which even at times it looked like it wasn't there. It looked like we were going in the opposite direction. But at the end of the day, he said, it all came together. Praise the Lord. The Lord gave unto Israel the land which he swore to give unto their fathers. That's what he promised at the beginning. They went through a lot of stuff, but at the end, what he said, you know, the end will speak what God spoke in the beginning. The end will reveal it. At the end, he said, the Lord gave them rest all around them, according to all that he swore to their fathers. There stood not a man of all their enemies before them. The Lord delivered all their enemies. Look at how many times said all there. You know, there failed not any good thing which the Lord hath spoken unto them. All came to pass. Glory to God. Now, ladies and gentlemen, not one thing, one good thing that the Lord has spoken to you, men and brethren, will fall to the ground unfulfilled. All shall come to pass. There may be contradictions to that promise along the way, either in your mind, the devil, the world, situation, whatever. But stand fast in the knowledge that all shall come to pass of what God has said. If he said it at the beginning, that's what it will be at the end. If it looks otherwise right now, well, the Lord will turn it around, because it must come back and be exactly like he said. For my word which I have spoken that has gone out of my mouth shall not return unto me void, saith the Lord. But it must prosper. You know, in that whereunto it is sent, and accomplish that which I please. We give you, Lord, the glory. We give you, Lord, the praise for this understanding. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.